Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Michael K. Show.
1-2. And a swing and a ground ball to third. This should do it. Bregman up with it. On to first. And the Astros win again.
My fear, Michael, is that the storyline that I have to sit through tonight is Verlander's redemption song.
2-2 pitch. Fastball swung on and missed. He got him. What a display of raw power from Justin Verlander.
But home field has meant nothing. Got a lead early. They've been down every single game. These three straight, it's been a nightmare.
How are you going through this, really? Because I know your whole life you've been attached to this team.
You know what? I'm attached to him now. When I went to the game, I ran into an old mentor of mine in radio who I hadn't seen in so long.
Homeless right now?
No, he's not homeless. He's still working at the radio station. He's doing fine.
The Michael K. Show.
Free will's definitely a thing.
This is like listening to the Kanye album. It's so religious.
Barry, and you love it. You thought it was dope. Jesus.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, a lot of the show today and even yesterday has been about the Jets with some of the rumored trades that did not happen, although they did trade Leonard Williams to the Giants yesterday, but nothing happened before the trade deadline today. They'll play the Dolphins on Sunday. And now we talk to the head coach of the Jets. The Adam Gase Report is brought to you by Windorama and Anderson Windows, M&T Bank, Tullamore Dew, and PC Richard and Son. Adam, is Michael, Don, and Peter. How much damage control do you have to do in your locker room for the players that were rumored to at least have offers to the Jets about? Do you have to go up to Jamal Adams? Do you have to talk to Robbie Anderson and say, listen, you know, you're on our team. You gotta be great.
I think every guy's different. You know, a lot of the times, you know, you roll by a guy and just kind of start talking with them and they either bring it up to you or you say something to them. It just depends on the situation. You know, Robbie obviously was the one that his name was kind of getting floated out there prior earlier along with Leonard. So, you know, I had a couple of conversations with Robbie and really it's just all about staying focused on, you know, trying to do his job, playing well and getting ready for the last game.
How about with Jamal Adams? You know, there are reports that, and obviously you're not making this deal, it would be up to Joe Douglas, but the first round draft pick and then Ryan Clark of ESPN announced that, you know, Jamal Adams did want to go to Dallas so he could return home. He said after Sunday's game he's tired of losing. Is that somebody that you have to talk to?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's no one came knocking on my door to give me a heads up on anything. So in my eyes, it was, I don't know how real that something like that was.
So you were not really involved in any of the deals or nobody talks to you about who could stay, who could go?
Well, I mean, when it comes down to a lot of the trade stuff, it's, you know, we're getting ready for this next game. You know, that's what those guys get. They get paid to do. And, you know, they have to do everything they can to try to build the best team that they can for us, you know, now and moving forward. You know, a lot of the things that happen, people call, they ask about, you know, certain guys and sometimes none of that stuff materializes.
So Leonard Williams was a former sixth pick in the first round, not when you were here and not when Joe was here. He gets traded yesterday. After every game, people would criticize he wasn't sacking the quarterback, and you would say he's still doing a good job. Why did you guys deal Leonard Williams then?
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of one of the decisions that was made, and an opportunity came up, you know, for, you know, good picks, and, you know, it gives him a great opportunity moving forward, and he did everything we asked him to do. He did a great job here. Prepared every week. You know, that's just kind of a part of the business.
All right, everything's clicking first half of the Cowboy game. Your quarterback admitted to us that a couple of times that you guys left points on the table in the second half against Dallas, but you won the game and the feeling was good. What's happened since that it just has not clicked on either side of the ball, but more specifically offensively with your quarterback?
Yeah, I think the New England game is a hard one to really gauge. We screwed it up so early that it got out of hand and really took us away from what we wanted to do. And the last game, we just didn't have enough good drives. You know, we hurt ourselves. We had drops. You know, we had penalties. We put ourselves in the second and long. You know, we didn't take advantage of anything that any of the opportunities we had and a couple of those three and outs. You know, the two drives that we did have, they were good. It was, you know, we dug ourselves out of a hole one time and we had positive plays on almost every play. The second touchdown drive.
Let me ask you about Le'Veon Bell. He had 9 carries. That's the second fewest he's had in the last 5 years. Why was he used so infrequently?
Yeah, I mean, that's not intentional. I mean, part of the problem is Jacksonville's run defense. Coming off a game where they played Cincinnati, they had 33 yards rushing against them. Our longest run outside of a reverse was 5 yards. We weren't really getting guys covered up. We had too many run-throughs, too many guys penetrating. He didn't really have any room to run. We tried to get him the ball in the passing game. A couple times we missed him. We have a drop here. A couple times he got skipped in the progression, which, we kind of went back and corrected. There probably should have been quite a few more touches there for him. We did prolong some drives early in the game where, that's where he makes some of his money, where we get first down, second down, first down. He's involved in a lot of that. When we had a couple of those 3 and outs where we ended up 2nd and 20, that crushes us, and every game is solely based around him for the most part. And when it gets tough getting him the ball, that's a problem for our whole offense.
All right, couple of things with the protection. He was sacked 8 times in the game against Jacksonville. First part of the question, how much of that is on the line and how much of that is on your quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, it's all of us. I know everybody wants to – it's easier to just say, hey, it's this. It's the line. It's the quarterback. It's, the running back. It's play calling. It's really – we all took turns and – there's play calls I wish I could have back. There's times I know Sam wishes he would have got rid of the ball, went to a different guy, got tried not to be greedy down the field. There were some times where we didn't do a good job of using our help and protection. There's times where we flat out just got beat man to man, and it's a shame because, we got receivers open, and we have plays there to be made. We're just not able to get the ball off. And, there's a lot of things that we can clean up, and that's why we're really focused on improving this week, especially just worry about ourselves. We got to stop, worrying about what's going on the other side of the ball.
Now, the other part of it, from the offensive line standpoint, what can you do to get more help in the blocks? And can you do that and yet still have enough personnel to go downfield to try to make plays happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's really kind of opposite of what you would think. It seems like the more guys that we actually have protecting, the worse our protection is. So that's where we just got to do a better job of when we do our 6-man protections, of just understanding, where are we going, where are we sliding, who's got help, who doesn't have help, who's one-on-one, should the ball come out. Really, there's these little tiny details that if we just get those cleaned up, the numbers go way down. The Dallas game is a good example of ball was coming out quick. We were able to kind of get some of our screen game going. We're spreading the ball all over the place. We're keeping them off balance. We're able to run the ball. I mean, it all plays in together. And that's what we've been lacking the last couple of games. We can't get behind early. We gotta stay in a rhythm throughout the game.
Adam Gase is our guest here on the Michael Kay Show, and I'll apologize in advance for this question. I don't mean it to be rude. You've been kind to us and very amenable to all the questions. But, Adam, from the outside looking in, it looks like you're not doing a good job this year. Do you feel that you're doing a good job coaching this team?
Yeah, I mean, the record speaks for itself right now as far as where we're at. I mean, it's not what we want to be. But, when you look at it from our perspective, from inside, we're looking at this is a process. This is our first year in the program. We've had some adversity type things happen. Our guys are doing a good job of coming to work every day. They're putting the work in on the practice field. It hasn't translated to game day quite yet, but this is kind of these are the things that happen when you're in your first year, when you're trying to turn things around, when you're trying to get things going in the right direction, and everybody's trying to learn how you want to do the program. I mean, that's part of the process. And people, they get frustrated very quickly and expect immediate results. It doesn't always sustain. And I've already been through that, and I saw how that worked out. And that's why we have to just focus on getting better every day. And if we do that, then that's going to give us our best chance for the results on Sunday.
Now, we're taking phone calls for 2 hours today, Adam. And I'm sure you're not monitoring what fans say, but, I mean, there have been a lot of phone calls that we're fighting them off. Adam Gase should be fired. I mean, what do you say to those fans after 7 games where you've been besieged by injuries, that fans that want you fired? What would you say to them?
Well, I understand their frustration. I promise you it's not the funnest thing to go through when you're on our side and our players. I mean, everybody wants to win. But we have to do a good job of staying focused on what we're doing, which is getting better this week, trying to find a way to win one game. And then really, when that happens, then we work on the next one. And if we look any further ahead or if we look behind us, that does us no good.
Do you believe you have the personnel to be better?
I do think we can get better because I'm looking at it as, are we blocking the right guys? Are we covering the right guys? Are we doing the right things in our zone pressures? Are we doing the right things on special teams? I'm looking at all the detail type things that are non-talent based, and we just got to keep getting better at those. Put ourselves in position. We get beat in some kind of talent aspect. That's a different story. I just don't think that's the case for us right now. We just got to keep cleaning up these mistakes that we're making. That put ourselves in bad positions. We've been in a couple of games where we have opportunities to win games, and we just got to figure out a way to just make sure that we're doing the small details of our job right.
The first time we talked to you, right after the press conference, you were excited about working with Sam Darnold. You believe that he was a quarterback that can lead this team. You still have that faith that he is the right quarterback for this team?
100%. I love working with him every day. You know, just seeing him every day, you see him, and no matter what your record is, you get energized because you know this kid puts in the time. He puts in the work on the field. He's always looking to get better. I can feel his grasp of what's going on with the offense. It's improving every week. The way that he's really starting to take control of things, and he's understanding the little nuances and stuff, that gets me excited. And when things start going consistently better for us, it's going to be a great thing to see.
Adam, you play the Dolphins. The Dolphins are just brutally terrible. Terrible. I would say that there has to be an enormous amount of pressure that you guys can't lose this game. Do you feel that way?
No, I don't feel that way. I'm more focused on our guys doing a good job of preparing this week and having a good week of practice and going out there and executing it correctly on Sunday.
Now, Sam said you guys had a great practice going into Jacksonville. Would you agree with that?
I thought the guys practiced really well. You know, we're coming off that Monday night game. You know, I know guys were beat up pretty good because you have that one day's rest. Then you turn right around on Wednesday and you got to roll. And, you know, to see those guys, the effort and energy they played with and being a little thin because, you know, most of all the guys that we've had inactive the last 2 weeks have been they haven't been able to practice. You know, we're down some guys in practice. So you got starters playing scout team. You got guys playing out of position trying to give good looks. The effort and energy that I'm seeing in practice is something that is encouraging for me because it just shows me that these guys want to put the time and the effort in to win.
Sam's wrist and toe, are they going to be a factor?
I don't think so. I mean, he's not complaining to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's not comfortable. You know, he took a rougher route than I would have as far as after we lost that Monday night game and had a toenail removed, and I know that he was in a lot of pain from that, but, you know, He's handled that really well. I know the thumb was, you know, when it happened in the game, that was a little scary. But, you know, he just looked at me and says, "I'm going. I'm good."
Now, you mentioned earlier the process. It's a process, you know, first year of a program. But, Adam, forthright here. I mean, is there any way you could have imagined this? Now, you couldn't have imagined mono and all the injuries. But could you have imagined it would be at this point right now going into the Dolphins game?
No, you never think that way. You know, but that's what the NFL, that's what makes it the best sport in the world right now, is everything's unpredictable. And, you know, we've had opportunities in a few games that we didn't take advantage of. You know, we have a 16-point lead against Buffalo, and we didn't finish that game. And we had our opportunity, we're down by 7 against Jacksonville, and we didn't take advantage of that. You know, we had some opportunities where we had short fields, we didn't take advantage of it. And, you know, that's just kind of how it rolls right now. And really what we have to do is we have to learn from our mistakes and then we have to go back to work and then, you know, pull one together this week and go find a way to win.
You ever doubt yourself?
No. Never.
It's got to be discouraging, though. Just like even talking to you now, got to practice well. Well, you've practiced well, but it hasn't translated. Attitude of the players, the attitude's been good, but yet the mistakes are still made on the field. So when you're assessing this team, because you practice way more than you play, right? So when you see it come together and it's working and the attitude's right in practice and then not see it translate on the field, it's just got to be tremendously frustrating because all the work you do is in preparation for that Sunday.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, you keep hammering at it because you know it's so close to clicking in so many different areas. That's what keeps coming, making you come back, because you can see it on the practice field, and you know if we keep improving and we get to the point in a game where things click. Because I've seen this happen. I've seen it to where it was 180 yards of offense one week, and the next thing I know it's 480 5 weeks in a row. And it was because guys just kept hammering away and trying to get the fine details out. And when the opportunities came, they made plays when we needed them to. And we have the guys to be able to do that, especially offensively. I know we got plenty of players on defense that have made plays through their career and still are making plays for us. And it's just, we just got to get three phases playing together, complementary football, to where these guys put it together for four quarters. And next thing I know, you know, you get a win at the end of the day, and then another one, and then another one, and then you get on a little bit of a run.
Le'Veon Bell's name was out there before the trade deadline that, you know, the Jets were listening. Were you guys looking to trade Le'Veon Bell?
I mean, when I heard that was news to me. So, I mean, that's somebody's talking about that I don't know.
So Joe Douglas would come up and tell you, Adam, I'm listening on Le'Veon Bell. He didn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, he'd tell me if something was real.
Uh-huh.
But that was never said to me.
Is Le'Veon Bell part of the solution here?
I think he's done a great job with everything that we've asked him to do. I mean, I know last week was no fun for anybody. You know, we just had found no consistency. And all he's done is try to do everything we've asked him to do and practice hard. And on game day, he gives us everything he has. And, you know, I need to find better ways to get him the ball and be able to, you know, sustain that for four quarters.
Now, final thing, Jamal Adams after the game on Sunday said he was tired of the losing. He looked despondent. Then, you know, there was a report earlier today that he would mind going to Dallas to go back home. How do you view him in terms of a leader? Is he a leader on your team?
Yeah, he is. I mean, it's he feels about the same way as a lot of us do, where it's, you get tired of losing. It's frustrating, and you don't want it to happen. I mean, I like the fact that it means that much to him.
Yeah, but you don't want to go to Dallas.
No, I do not. I don't.
He said he did, according to Ryan Clark.
Well, he's never said that to me, so unless he tells me something personally, I'm not really going to believe a lot of the things that are out there.
He is a little passive-aggressive, though. You know, like I said, with the tweeting and all that. I know you don't get into the tweeting, but you are confident. At least on the surface, to me, it feels like a guy that may not want to be here. You feel differently than that, right?
Yeah, I mean, from the conversations that I've always had with him, he's one of the guys that wants to help us get this thing rolling.
Well, Adam, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Good luck this weekend.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. That's the Adam Gase Report, brought to you by Windorama and Anderson Windows. Ready to replace your window? Start with the window installation experts at Windorama. Visit Windorama.com today to get started. M&T Bank, the official community bank of the New York Jets. Tullamore Dew, the original triple-blended, smooth-sipping Irish whiskey. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. And P.C. Richard & Son, now celebrating their 110th birthday with huge savings on appliances, TVs, electronics, and mattresses for 110 years. Nobody beats PC Richard and Son. I'm sorry. I asked him the question. You have to beat Miami. And if you don't, I mean, if you, the phone calls we've had today, there will be an uprising in Jet Nation. The fans will not be able to take it. I will not be able to blame them. The Dolphins are a putrid team that are not trying to win. You cannot play the Dolphins and lose. In fact, you can't even play a close game against the Dolphins.
I agree.
You have to wipe the Dolphins around the stadium. You just have to do it. You have to embarrass them. You can't just say, right, no, I don't feel it's a must win. It is a must win. Just for the future of your process, of your program.
But maybe he doesn't feel that way, Michael, because it's hard to feel like you can guarantee anything with this team. Right? I mean, look at the way that they play.
No, but not guarantee, better win this game.
But you say, yeah, you got to win this game. But does he want to be the coach to say, we have to win this game, and then you lose the game? It's on the table, people. I'm sorry. I know the Dolphins are tanking, but the way the Jets have played the last couple of weeks, losing in Miami is a possibility. So I guess to defend him, Peter, if he comes out and says, this is a must-win for us, and then you don't win, then
also,
maybe, then you come on and say, oh, you know, how are we supposed to believe anything at that point?
Also, Michael, you should appreciate the Captain Literal Man side of this. It's not a must-win. He hired the GM. He's not getting fired.
No.
It's not a must-win for anyone.
Not a must-win for him, for his fan base, for his players to believe. You can't lose to a winless Miami team.
But what are the players going to then believe?
They'll believe nothing.
But what are they going to believe?
They won't believe in the program.
What are they going to believe if they win? How much more do you believe? I agree it would be bad. But is it a huge difference?
This is two wins? This is an awful game for them.
They
go 100-0, no one's going to care because it's the Dolphins and they're tanking. If, God forbid, they've got to win this game on a last-second field goal, how do you celebrate it?
No, they have to put a few games together in a row.
That's the thing.
That's it.
That's what it is.
They got to get to 3-6, 4-6, 5-7.
They got to beat the Giants, win a couple of games in a row here. Because the Dallas game did nothing, right? You beat Dallas, you lose the next 2 weeks. Beat Miami, then you lose to the Giants. What does it matter? I mean, that's the thing that's scary to me, and I mentioned it to him. Got to have a good practice. Well, you have good practices. You admitted the practices are good. But then it doesn't translate on the field. There's a clear disconnect, and he's trying to fight through it, and he's trying to stay focused. But, Peter, you're right. He's not losing his job at the end of the year.
No.
And that's not what the question was. I mean, if you want people to believe in you, you cannot lose to the Dolphins.
I know, but you're painting that. It's a good question, Michael. But you're painting the picture in. You're going up against a team that's got awful. What coach is ever going to admit they're playing a team that's awful? Right? Every time you talk to a coach, they're going to tell you the challenges of the 0-6 team they're going to play. The 0-7 team they're going to play.
Just imagine the pressure on this guy. He got fired by this team.
I know.
And now if they go with their new coach and it looks like they don't even want to win and they beat the Jets, how does that make Adam Gase look?
But you just got the answer without him answering. If he really believed and is confident in his team, then he would say, yeah, we got to win this game. But I think it's up for debate whether they're going to win this game or not. And he's got a bunch of football games to coach. He's got half a season left after this. So he probably doesn't want to play that game, Michael. They're going to beat Miami because you're going up against a team that's not trying to win.
You better.
But what does that mean?
You better beat them. We'll have an uprising here on Monday if you don't. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both. For over 75 years. We have a lot of stuff to do. Stick around. More phone calls. We're waiting on Joe Douglas as well, the GM of the Jets. We should get him before the end of the show for sure. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.